Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a classic but modern drum and bass impact layer, an old-school air horn hit stacked with a crunchy sampler texture in Ableton Live 12. This is one of those sounds that can instantly give a track attitude. It's rude, gritty, a little nostalgic, and when it's done right, it doesn't just sound like a sample thrown on top of the beat. It feels like part of the arrangement. Think Jungle Energy, Rollers Energy, Dark Rave Energy, but with enough control to actually sit in a mix. The big idea here is simple. The horn gives you the pitch, the identity, the recognizable front edge. The crunchy texture gives you the attitude, the dirt, the shadow behind it. If both layers compete in the same frequency pocket, the sound gets blurry fast. So as we go, keep that in mind. One layer leads, the other supports. First, choose a horn source that already has the right vibe. You want something with a sharp transient and enough body to survive processing. Drag the sample into an audio track and trim it tight so the main hit is clean and immediate. If it's way too long, shorten it. If it's too quiet, bring the level up so it peaks somewhere around -12 to -9 dB before effects. That gives you headroom and keeps the resampling stage under control. If you don't have an actual air horn sample, don't worry. A short brass stab, a synth brass hit, even a shouted vocal cut can work if you process it into horn territory. For old-school DNB, a little roughness is often better than perfection. We're not trying to make it pristine. We're trying to make it feel alive. Now shape the horn so it behaves like a proper impact instead of just a raw sample. Start with EQ8. High pass it somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so you clear out unnecessary low end. If the sound feels honky or boxy, dip a little around 500 to 900 Hz. If it needs more bite, give a small lift around 2 to 4kHz. Keep these moves subtle. You're not trying to redesign the sample completely, just clean up the space it needs to punch through a dense DNB mix. Next, add drum bus if you want a bit more aggression. A little drive goes a long way here, maybe 5 to 20% depending on the sample. Keep boom low or off for this layer, because the horn shouldn't own the sub. If the attack feels soft, add a touch of transients to sharpen the front edge. Then use saturator with soft clip-on. A few dB of drive, maybe 2 to 6, is usually enough to thicken the hit without making it harsh. This is where the sound starts to feel more solid and usable. You're aiming for a horn that can cut through breakbeats, ghost notes, and a moving bass line without becoming fizzy. Now comes the fun part, and honestly, this is the move that makes the whole lesson worth it. Resampling. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm it, then trigger the horn and record a few passes. You can record a clean pass, a slightly dirtier pass, maybe even a version, with a little timing variation if you want the texture to feel more human or more chopped. The goal here is not perfection. The goal is character. If you want more edge before the resample, you can place a redux or overdrive before recording. Keep it tasteful. A little bit of downsampling or overdrive can make the result feel second generation and grimy, which is exactly what we want. Just don't turn it into total garbage. We want crunchy sampler texture, not unusable noise. Once you've recorded the resample, choose the most interesting take. Look for the version that has a nice crunch, a little digital roughness, maybe a natural tail that can become texture after editing. Trim it tightly, fade the edges so there are no clicks, and decide whether you want to keep it as audio or turn it into a playable sampler layer. If you keep it as audio, that's great when the resample already has the right feel. You can low pass it with auto filter if the top end is too sharp, or just leave it raw if it sounds good in context. If you want more performance control, drag the resample into simpler. Set it to one shot. Trigger mode can be gate or trigger depending on how you want it to respond. A small volume envelope can help if the tail is too long. A simple starting point is attack near zero, decay somewhere around 150 to 400 milliseconds, sustain low or off, and release short. That way the texture acts like a shadow of the horn instead of a separate sample fighting it. This is where the sampled feel really matters. Tiny differences in trimming, slight pitch drift, or a bit of timing offset can make the layer feel like a chopped source rather than a duplicate. If it feels too familiar, try nudging the resampled layer up or down a few semitones while leaving the horn itself more stable. That can make the result feel way more custom. Now stack the two layers and shape them together. The easiest workflow is to group the horn and the texture so you can process them as one unit. But first, balance them individually. The horn should be the clear lead. The texture should sit underneath, audible enough to add grit, but not so loud that it steals focus. On the group, start with EQ8 again. High pass around 90 to 140 Hz, since neither layer should be carrying heavy low end. If the stack sounds nasal, cut a little around 700 to 1200 HE. If it needs a bit more presence, add a small shelf around 3 to 5 KHZ. Be careful here, because the snare often owns a lot of that mid-range energy and DNB. You do not want the hit to fight the backbeat. Then add glue compressor. Keep it light, a ratio of 2 to 1, attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, just enough to make the layers feel like one object. After that, a little more saturator can help glue the stack and give it that final bit of grime. Again, small moves. You want the sound rude, not crushed. If the stack starts feeling too wide or too messy, use utility to keep the core centered. In DNB, the main impact should stay pretty solid in mono. The dirt and texture can have some stereo character, but the punch itself should remain stable. Now let's talk arrangement and movement, because this kind of sound really comes alive when it's used with intention. DNB loves call and response. So instead of dropping the horn hit randomly, think about where it answers the bass line or marks a phrase. A great place is the last beat of a 4-bar buildup, or as a pickup into the drop, or on a bar 8 or bar 16 switch up when the drums change. You can also use it every 2 bars as a response to a bass phrase. That gives the track structure and keeps the ear engaged. You can add movement with automation too. Automate an auto filter cutoff so a pre-drop version sounds narrower and more tense, then open it up for the main hit. You can automate saturator drive for a slightly more aggressive final accent in a phrase. A short reverb throw on select hits can create space, but keep it brief. In DNB, the impact matters more than the wash. If you want the sound to be more performance-friendly, consolidate the final stack into a single audio file and load it into Simpler or a drum rack pad. That way you can trigger it from MIDI and quickly build variations. Make a clean version, a dirtier version, maybe a shorter version, and even a reverse pickup version. This is really useful in DNB because you can build a main drop hit, a pre-drop lead-in, and a fill version all from the same source. Now test the stack in context. Bring in your drums, your bass line, and any atmospheric elements. Listen carefully. Does the horn cut through the snare? Does the texture mask the hats? Is there any low mid buildup that's stepping on the bass? If the stack fights the groove, trim it back. If it disappears, bring up the texture just enough that you feel the grit in the context of the full mix. Always check mono too. That's huge. If the stack falls apart in mono, it means the width or layering is too dependent on stereo tricks. Keep the main impact centered and let width live mostly in the supporting texture. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't leave too much low end in the horn. High pass it more if needed. Don't make the crunchy layer louder than the horn. It should support, not lead. Don't over-distort everything in one pass. Sometimes a few small stages of saturation sound much better than one huge destructive hit. Don't drown it in reverb. Short and controlled is the move. And don't forget to listen against the snare and bass, because indeed NB those are the rulers of the mix. If you want a darker or heavier result, there are a few easy variations to try. You can bandpass the texture layer somewhere around 500 HC to 4K HC for a busted radio or warehouse vibe. You can make a subtle reverse version to tuck before the main hit. You can blend a dirtier resample behind a cleaner one for more mix control. You can even create multiple versions in Simpler and switch them by velocity, so the sound behaves more like an instrument. Here's a strong practice move. Build 3 versions of the same hit. One clean and punchy. One darker and more distorted. One wider with filtered texture. Put them into a simple 8-bar loop and alternate them every couple of bars. Listen to how each version changes the energy of the phrase. Then keep the one that feels most usable in the context of the drums and bass. The main takeaway is this: treat the horn as the pitch layer and the crunch as the attitude layer. Resample to capture movement and grime. Keep your low end clean, your core impact centered, and your texture just dirty enough to make the hit feel dangerous. If you get that balance right, you've got a reusable DNB weapon that can work in drops, transitions, fills, and switch-ups without losing its punch. All right, let's move on and build it step by step in Ableton Live 12.